Open Verdict, a play for radio by Lester Powell.
At Ashminster today, an open verdict was returned at the inquest on Joan Kendall, the 19-year-old student who was found in the River Ash on Tuesday. It's understood that police are continuing their inquiries. Hotels in the southwest came under fire.
Come in, the door isn't locked.
Oh, those stairs certainly do test out the old bellows, don't they? Hello, old boy. What can I do for you, then? Does he want to go out?
That's the general idea. He usually does about this time.
Ah, I figure, then. Good hunting.
He does most of his hunting in the bishop's dustbins, I'm afraid. No sense of reverence.
I saw your car outside, so I thought I'd just wander up.
Nice to see you.
And how are things with you, then? Busy?
So-so.
Belongs to another age, this place, isn't it, eh? The cathedral, those old lawns, even the rooks don't look contemporary. Are they rooks?
Ravens.
I didn't realize there were private dwelling places in the close. How did you find it?
Through my boss. It's cathedral property, and he plays the organ.
Does he? I didn't know that.
Yes, Mr. Earle is a man of parts.
He's a fine photographer.
Best in these parts, or so they say.
I didn't see you at the inquest.
I wasn't called.
I thought you would have been.
The other detective I talked to, chap with sandy hair.
Roy Shields?
He said I wouldn't be needed.
That was before the autopsy. The autopsy shed a different light on things. You see, there's barely 4 foot of water at low tide below Stevens Bridge, where she was found. So the injuries to her head could have been caused by a submerged rock if she threw herself off. On the other hand, she could have been crushed on the bank and then thrown in.
Is that what they think?
There was a certain amount of water in the lungs, but not enough, apparently, to prove drowning. Hey, Mo, how old are you?
How old? 32. 33 in November. Why?
And you've been in Ashminster how long?
Just over a year.
Working for Graham Earle all the time?
More or less.
You take pictures, too?
No, I do the selling. Postcards, calendars, the occasional illustrated guidebook.
And how much does that bring in, then?
About 17 a week after tax.
Oh, not much, is it?
Well, I work the thin end, mostly. The country areas, village stores, sub-post offices, itsy-bitsy gift shops.
Did Joan Kendall pay you?
What for?
The tuition.
It wasn't tuition. I was helping her prepare for an exam.
In what?
Modern history, her subject.
Oh, yes, you've got an Oxford degree, haven't you?
Cambridge, actually.
Talk about her. Give me a picture. Something to bite on.
Do I get to ask a question?
Of course.
Are you here officially?
Oh, dear, am I wearing my CID hat?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, I had this case thrown at me unexpectedly, less than 2 hours ago, as a matter of fact.
There are people in the town, in the university, who knew her a whole lot better.
I know that.
Then why start with me?
I've got to kick off somewhere, haven't I?
Thanks.
No, you're a bright lad. You're good with words.
Look, Sergeant Piper.
Inspector Piper. The heist came through yesterday.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Now then, you were saying?
I'm not completely stupid.
Oh, my dear chap.
An open verdict means that the whole thing, circumstances of her dying, happenings leading up to it, all open to suspicion.
Investigation.
By definition, then, anyone connected with her is open to suspicion.
If you'd prefer it formal, we could wander down to the station.
What I mean, there's method in this, isn't there? Dropping in, like, casually in the quiet of a summer's evening. I mean, there's technique in it, isn't there?
You'd feel happier, more relaxed in an interrogation room.
No.
Oh, wise choice. They've just redecorated it mustard yellow, like fever. Shall we talk?
Go ahead.
How did you meet her?
Arnold Rowland's gift shop.
Ah, yes, Ashminster Gifties.
He's a customer of mine. She works for him, full-time out of term, part-time in term.
And so one day she says, Mr. Aymer, I need a hand with my history.
I asked her to a symphony concert at the cathedral.
Good. I want to make the distinction clear.
What distinction?
That you saw her first as a girl, as a woman, afterwards as a student.
Wait, you're going at those fences too fast. You're saying there was a sexual attraction.
And wasn't there?
I don't see the relevance.
That's just what I'm looking for, a point of relevance. She didn't die in that river for no reason at all, you know. Now, put it this way. She has cross eyes and knock knees. You still ask her to the concert?
I can't answer that.
Because she didn't have cross eyes and knock knees?
Right.
What happened at the concert?
They played Berlioz, Saint-Saëns, Frederick the Great.
Who?
He found time to write music between building Potsdam and fighting wars. Afterwards, we had coffee. I told her I'd once been a lecturer in modern history, and she told me about this exam and how worried she was about it. I offered to help her.
The university provides an adequate tutorial system, would you say?
I believe it does, yes.
Then did she need your help? What made you think she did?
I made her the offer because I wanted to see more of her,
Well, didn't that enter into it?
Could have done. I liked her. I enjoyed her company.
In that case...
Hold on. There is, believe it or not, something else in this besides sexual attraction. I have a passion for history. What she offered was an opportunity to indulge it.
Just that one passion?
If you're asking, did I go to bed with her, the answer is no.
She wasn't a virgin, you know. That at least emerged clearly with the autopsy.
Is that your point of relevance? Her deflowered state?
It could be. This tuition, coaching, whatever, where did it take place?
Here.
At night?
It had to be at night. I'm out of the city most of the day.
How many nights a week?
Two, three, it varied.
She'd arrive at what time?
Nine, sometimes later.
And you'd work with her till when?
That too varied.
Now, Hamer, she was seen, and more than once, leaving this flat at 2 o'clock in the morning. All right. Tell me something. Was her death a surprise to you?
A surprise? It was a kick in the guts.
Knowing her as well as you did, you mean?
Slow down. There you go again. My relationship with her wasn't intimate in any sense. She wasn't a girl who talked about herself or about her relationships with other people, the things that had happened to her.
Unusual girl.
Now, that's where your point of relevance is, so far as it concerned me. What I liked about her, why I enjoyed her company up to and beyond the horribly immoral hour of 2 o'clock in the morning, was the fact that she wasn't like everyone else, a die stamping in a miniskirt with long hair.
Was she a happy girl?
Not exactly, not constantly.
Well, who is, even at 19?
Especially at 19.
Right.
I'd say she was a mercurial person.
Yeah, up 1 minute and down the next.
Of course, at 19, stamina, consistency isn't a common factor.
So, we come out with this, do we? She was given to fits of depression.
Not depression, exactly. Boredom. She was given to great gaping fits of being bored.
And that is a common factor at 19.
Very much so.
But few of them wind up in the river because of it.
If you're asking, did I see her as a suicide, I didn't. It could have been that, I suppose, on a sudden impulse. If suicide is a thing of sudden impulse, which I doubt.
No, I don't go along with suicide myself. You're serious. Suicide doesn't cut herself into only 4 foot of water. If serious, she'd do her own work on that. Besides, where's the motive? She was a good student, no emotional entanglements, no money troubles.
She wasn't all that well off. She had to have a job to make her grant stretch.
She had £300 saved up, found in a room in crisp new fivers.
Now, that does surprise me. She often complained of being short of cash.
So, what do you think?
About the £300.
Why she died?
An accident?
She was standing on Stevens Bridge in the middle of the night when she comes over all faint and topples off.
It's a possibility, isn't it?
Hardly. The parapet on that bridge is 5 foot high.
Not something you could just trip over.
How much did Arnold Rowland pay her?
Oh, I don't know. But not enough, I should imagine, to account for her having £300. Rowland's a tight man with a pound.
Well, thanks. We'll talk again. If anything occurs to you, something you've forgotten, you can contact me at the station.
Who there? Oh, it's you. Hang on a minute. Hello, James.
I was passing, saw the light.
Checking over the stock for the weekend, just finished. Another minute and you'd have missed me. Been on my way for a much-needed pint.
I'll walk along with you.
Fine, fine. Just lock up.
Coming across the grass?
Yes, to the Lion. Care to join me?
I won't, thanks all the same. I'm on my way to the cathedral.
Well, I don't have services this time of night, do they?
Organ practice. I have to see my boss.
Oh, that reminds me. I could do with some more postcards. Cathedral series. Sell a flock over the holiday.
I'll drop you some in the morning. 10 dozen.
Better make it 12.
Will do. You heard the verdict?
On the radio. They suspect foul play, then?
Presumably.
Violent times, these. Even Ashminster offers no protection. When I first heard about it, I said, suicide. Poor girl drowned herself. High rate of suicide among students. They worry. Not like in my day.
Have the police been on to you, Arnold, since the inquest?
No.
Chap from the CID called on me this evening, Inspector Piper.
Harry Piper?
I don't know his first name.
Above my age, thick-set, dark, Cornish-looking, with a cleft chin.
That's him.
Well, well, well. Small world. Harry Piper and I used to play in the county rugger team together. One of the best lock forwards we ever had.
He may be calling on you, too.
Oh, I'd be glad to see him. Not that I can tell him much about the girl. Didn't know her all that well. Outside the shop, I mean. Never even saw her outside the shop. Rather funny, really. Ashminster isn't all that big.
By the way, they know about the £300.
Oh? Do they?
I thought you'd be interested.
Yeah?
Well, here's where I leave you. See you in the morning.
Can you spare me a moment?
Of course, Harry. Come along in. Oh, you look frazzled, don't you?
I talked to Hamer.
I didn't find him all that wearing, personally. Rather restful, as a matter of fact.
I hope I'm not turning into a dirty old man with the advancing years, Roy, but that girl was a doll.
She was, even in the mortuary.
Now, our boy's 32, 33 in November. He's good-looking, personable in his way, all that. So what's he doing, poring over the history books with her far into the night?
Yeah.
Is that all he was doing? Another thing, he's got a good degree. He's bright, quick-witted, no mental handicap as far as anyone can see. So why is he peddling picture postcards for a pittance?
Well, I can tell you the way he tells it. The way he told it to me. Right, now, he got married in his last year at Cambridge, got a job in Canada when he came down, history lectureship, University of Ontario.
Uh-huh.
Now, 2 years ago, his wife and child, boy of seven, were killed when their car was hit by a train at a level crossing. Now, that broke him up.
Mm.
Packed in his job, drifted, got on the bottle, and last year, when his money ran out, he turned up in Ashminster.
But why Ashminster? He's not Devonian, is he?
No, it comes from somewhere over on the East Coast. Why Ashminster is a cathedral.
What, a religious retreat, spiritual sanctuary, that kind of thing?
To rebuild his life.
He's not coming on very fast, is he? Been here a whole year, and he's still only earning £17 a week after tax.
The rebuilding wasn't economic, Harry.
Obviously not.
That's the way he tells it. You don't have to believe it.
This girl was a doll, a real doll. I keep coming back to that. And Hamer's interest in her being purely academic.
It's feasible.
Anything's feasible if you try hard enough.
Hello, James.
Some climb up here, isn't it?
Yes, the last thing an organist needs in this cathedral is a tendency to vertigo. In fact, one fell out of this loft in the 1840s and broke his neck down there on the choirist hall. Now, the reason I wanted to see you, James, how would you feel about leaving here?
Ashminster?
I've just bought a business up in Dudley. It's going to give me more scope to do things I want to do, more worthwhile things, more rewarding things. And I need someone to take over the paperwork, administration, sales, promotion, and so forth. You're the ideal man for the job.
Thank you.
Naturally, there'll be an adjustment in salary. And also, there's a roomy flat for you, much better than what you have now.
I can't take this in. You're leaving Ashminster?
Yes, I'm going to hate it in some ways. So's Mary, but needs must. A boy's education costing more and more every year. I have to expand, James, no choice.
What sort of business is it? Photography?
No, a small publishing company. Small but well-established. Art books, brochures, good-class publicity material.
Happened very quickly, didn't it?
Very. But it had to happen like that. The present owner's off to the Bahamas. Quick sale or nothing. I had to move his speed.
Well, when would you want me to go up there?
The day after tomorrow.
You did move with speed.
I can't leave Ashminster myself for a week or two. Lots of things to be wound up. The flat's fully furnished, James, even down to bed linen. You've only your clothes to pack.
It isn't quite as simple as that, Graham.
You have no ties here?
No, but a commitment.
Look, I'll be frank with you, James. I'm relying on you. After all, I've helped you out in the past.
When I needed a roof over my head.
Now, that's not what it's about, return for favours received. This is good for you, James. It's your chance to rehabilitate yourself? Take your proper place in the world? I can tell you now, but it's often bothered me seeing a man of your calibre hawking postcards. Dudley could be your way back, James.
And you're handing it to me on a plate.
There's no sentiment. I want you to have the job because I'm convinced you can make a success of it, thereby benefiting me.
I can't go, Graham.
Why not? What's the commitment?
Joan Kendall.
Who's she?
You met her.
Did I when?
6-7 weeks ago, I brought her to the office. She wanted to change her job.
Oh, I remember. Pretty little thing. Isn't she at the university?
She's dead. Found in the river last Tuesday.
Dead? Oh, yes. She's the girl at the inquest.
That's right.
But, I don't quite follow. Why are you committed if she drowned herself?
Because she didn't drown herself.
Oh, I see. Oh, that explains the police car. Yes, I happened to notice it outside your flat while I was talking to the dean. Are you under suspicion, James? Is that what it is?
I'm probably under suspicion, but that isn't the reason for the feeling of commitment. I'm committed because I have to find out whether or not I had a hand in her death, however it happened.
Don't you know?
I gave her a certain piece of advice, which she followed. If I hadn't given her that advice, if she hadn't done what I suggested, she might be alive today.
I don't see you can say that with any certainty.
I can't. That's why I have to stay here, until I'm certain, one way or the other.
Well, if you say so.
I'm sorry.
What was the advice, may I ask?
After we'd talked to you and there was no job going till the end of the summer, I advised her to stay on with Arnold Roland till then.
Well, what does Roland say about it? Have you talked to him?
Well, he isn't a man I know well. He might not understand my reason for wanting to know. I'm not sure I understand it myself.
It goes deeper than just the girl. Awful though it was, doesn't it?
Yes. This is the second time in 2 years that I've had a close connection with violent death.
Oh, you weren't culpable. Not the first time. Oh, you were driving that car, yes, but that was all.
Why did I escape then? Why wasn't I smashed to death along with them?
God's will.
And it was God's will that Joan Kendall should end up in the river?
Of course.
God's will, or God's punishment?
He gives and he takes away. Look, James, I know how you feel. In your place, I'd feel pretty much the same, but with this difference, I should feel that I must do something. Not just sit and search into myself for flaws and weaknesses, asking why has God punished me?
Well, here, I might be able to do something.
What?
I don't know yet.
Well, will you do something for me?
If I can.
Think my proposition over. Sleep on it.
All right.
Good. Come and see me at lunchtime tomorrow.
I'll do that.
Aren't you going to stay? I've got a piece of Monteverdi I thought you might like.
I want to talk to that detective again. Good night.
Good night.
Cigarette?
No, thanks.
I always live on the job at the start of a case. The first 48 hours are vital, given that the thing has complications. If you don't crack it in the first 2 days, your chances diminish sharply. Nothing. What have you got for me?
I'm not sure it'll help.
Try it.
After you left me, I talked to Arnold Roland.
Ah, what did he have to say?
It was more what he didn't say. I mentioned the £300 you found in her room, and he didn't seem in the least surprised. He knew about it, in other words.
Maybe he gave it to her?
Maybe he did, but why? What for?
You said he was a hard man with a pound.
I expect you can bear that out. You played rugger with him, didn't you?
Mm. So, if she went to him and asked him to lend her money...
She wouldn't do that.
Why not? She's in financial difficulties. She works for him. What's more natural?
If she was in money difficulties, had a pressing debt to settle, would she stuff the money in a drawer and leave it there?
We found the money under her mattress, not in a drawer. Now, tell me, what makes you so sure she didn't ask Roland for money?
The circumstances.
What circumstances?
Well, about 6 weeks ago, she told me that she was having trouble with him and asked me to help her find another job. I took her along to Graham Earl, but he didn't have a vacancy, not till the end of the summer.
What kind of trouble? Did she specify?
She didn't have to. Roland's a single man. It's obvious what the trouble
not
was.
Not necessarily. Still, let's assume that. Roland makes a play for her. She doesn't fancy him. You can't find her another job, so she goes on working for him.
On my advice. She needed the money coming.
She could have found another job without your help. Why didn't she?
I told you. I advised her not to.
Oh, you had that much influence on her, yet you maintain your relationship with her wasn't an intimate one.
One can have influence without intimacy.
Can one? Oh, I suppose so. Anyway, she takes your advice. Then she runs into difficulties. She has to have £300 in a hurry, so she does a deal with Roland.
No.
Why no?
I knew her well enough for that.
To you, she was honest, straight and pure.
Yes.
Wouldn't sell herself.
No.
Not in any circumstances.
Not in any circumstances.
Yeah. You're an intelligent fellow, Amy. You bristle with brains.
Thank you.
But in this job, you wouldn't last 5 minutes.
You're saying I'm naive?
I'm saying you assume a consistency of behavior in people that they don't necessarily have, especially girls of 19.
That's saying I'm naive.
All right, we won't quibble over a word. Oh, excuse me. Piper. Oh, yes, Roy. What? Yeah, keep him down there for 3 or 4.
No, wait. Show him into the interrogation room, will you? You know, that's funny. You know who's here?
Roland?
You must have thrown a scare into him, and he's come to throw suspicion on you. It's rather funny, don't you think?
Hilarious. When I heard you were on the case, Harry, thought I'd come along and have a chat. Without it being official, if you follow me.
Oh, I'm glad you did, Arnold. Nice to see you again.
It's been a long time. One loses touch. Now it is.
But about it not being official, Arnold, you do know, don't you, that there could be foul play behind all this?
Of course. An open verdict.
So anything you have to tell me, touching on the girl, that is, has to be official.
Well, if you say so.
So long as it's understood.
If it's how you want it, Harry.
No, I want it. It's how it has to be. Of course, if you just want to chew over old tides, go around the corner and do it over a pipe.
No. It's about the girl.
Okay.
Well, I have to explain first my own position, why I didn't come forward with this before.
Now, take your time. There's no rush.
When I first heard about it, I assumed it was suicide, same as everyone else. It was a natural assumption.
Was it? Why?
Well, she was a moody sort of girl, you know, temperamental.
I've had several different accounts of this girl, and they all vary. Well, that's to be expected, of course. Everyone sees things and other people in his own individual way, but what's strange here is that the more I have her explained to me, the shadowier she becomes.
No, not mark you that I knew her well. Not outside the shop.
Well, how was she in the shop?
Well, she wasn't rude to people, customers.
Then all?
Oh, you'd be surprised. As students who come to me because they have to supplement the grant, you'd think they were doing me a favor. Don't even try. Most of them treat the customers like dirt. Now, she didn't do that. Have to be fair to her. She was willing enough, too, and fairly reliable. But, I don't know, there was something.
She was bored?
No, not that exactly. Difficult to put your finger on it.
Try.
Well, she gave me the impression, she did to me at any rate, that selling gifts to tourists was beneath her, you know, peddling grockle fodder.
Oh, she was a bit grand, you mean?
No, not that exactly. Didn't have a lot of airs and graces like some of the young ladies at the university I've employed, no. No, she was aloof. I think that's a word. She lived by herself, if you see what I mean.
A loner.
Exactly. She didn't need people.
Self-assured?
Yes, very.
But this doesn't square with a girl who's driven to end it all in the river, does it? Which is what you thought she did.
Well, could have been under pressure, didn't show.
Maybe we all are. What made you change your mind, Arnold?
Change my mind?
Well, I take it you don't still think she killed herself, otherwise you wouldn't be here.
No, I don't.
Why not?
Well, firstly, there's the verdict. The coroner isn't a fool. He must have had good reason for presuming foul play. I heard the verdict. I began to think again, as one would.
Of course.
So, I started to ask myself questions. Who would want to kill her? And why? Of course, wouldn't have been a chance encounter, lonely place, late at night.
It wasn't a sex killing, you know. She wasn't in the fear of it.
So then I thought, must have been someone she knew. Someone she trusted. Of course, as I say, I didn't know much about her private life, hardly anything. But I did know about James Hamer.
Oh. What about him?
Well, she spent several nights a week in his flat.
All night?
Well, I don't know that, not for sure. Shop's just off the close, as you know, and I often saw her on her way through to him. And then if I was up late for any reason, I'd see her coming back, usually around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
You weren't watching for her, were you?
Spying on her? No, nothing like that. I just happened to see her, that's all. I didn't care what you did with her spare time.
He was coaching her for an exam.
Well, I didn't think that had any particular significance, her visiting him at night, any connection with what happened, until earlier on tonight, when Hamer came round to the shop.
And why did that assume significance?
Oh, no, he isn't a friend of mine. He calls on me once every 2 months or so to sell me postcards. Tonight was the very first time he called privately.
What did he want?
Now, what happened was this. He was on his way to the cathedral, or so he said. So we walked across the close together. I was on my way to the Lion for a noggin. Been working late, dressing out, checking stock for the holiday weekend. Now we talked of this and that, and then just before we parted, he asked me whether I'd heard the verdict at the inquest. I said I had. He asked me whether the police had been to see me. I said no, and he said they know about the £300.
At all?
Well, he said it as though he thought I knew about it.
Do you?
No, double dutch to me.
We found £300 in her room in fivers.
Do you think Hamer thought I'd given it to her?
Did you?
Did I? Hell, I can't afford to make presents of that size to young ladies.
Neither can Hamer, that's for sure.
Oh, I find it most peculiar, his assuming that I knew.
Didn't you ask him to explain?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
Well, he said it just before we parted.
Well, your not asking for an explanation could be considered peculiar too, couldn't it? I mean, if it's rather subtle oddities we're looking for.
You're saying I'm making a mountain out of a molehill?
Well, it's not much, is it? To build a case on, I mean, against Hamer.
Oh, I've not tried to cast suspicion on Hamer, Harry. That happened. Puzzled me. Didn't seem to add up. Felt it was my duty to tell you.
Oh, I'm grateful. If more people took their civic obligations so seriously, our job would be a whole lot easier.
Mm. There is one other thing.
Yes?
Did you know he was thrown out of a college in America for assaulting a girl student?
What? No, I didn't know that.
Not what you'd call a subtle little oddity, is it?
If it's true.
Oh, it's true, all right. Found it out in rather a curious way. Shortly after he came to Ashminster and started to work for Graham Earle, he came into the shop and introduced himself. We got chatting, and he happened to mention that he'd taught history in a woman's college in Utica, New York, after he left the university in Canada. Oh, it so happens that a friend of mine, a Dr. Faber, an antiquarian, lives in Utica. So, in my next letter to him, I mentioned this, and he wrote back and said there'd been a big scandal about Hamer. He'd attacked one of the students and been heaved out on his ear. I brought the letter with me.
Can you leave this with me, Arnold?
Oh, of course, keep it as long as you like. As I say, Harry, I ought to come forward with this before, but until I heard the verdict, I really didn't see the point.
I'm very glad, James. More than I can say.
I don't think I was myself last night. Probably thrown by the detective. He's a very agile questioner. I'm afraid I talked a lot of nonsense.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. What you said about feeling yourself committed made a certain amount of sense in the spiritual way.
One of my troubles, a thorny one, is an acute inability to make up my mind, take a decision, ever since that happened in Canada. Yeah. Even the simplest decision, like what to have for breakfast.
Yes, that's very often a post-shock symptom.
So they tell me. But sometimes, when it's very bad, when something's sprung on me, like last night, and I have to say yes or no, there and then, I start scurrying about in my head like a blind mouse. I have the sensation that I'm going out of my mind.
Oh, you're not going out of your mind. You've made the right decision. Oh, I'm sure of it. Dudley's the right thing for you, the way out of all your difficulties. I'm convinced of it.
Now, when shall I take off?
When you like. Soon as maybe. How long will it take you to pack?
Oh, I'm already packed. My worldly possessions don't go beyond a couple of suitcases. All I have to do now is get a travelling basket for the cat.
You can leave this afternoon, then.
There's only the lease of the flat.
Oh, I'll take care of that.
Thanks. That's a great help.
Do you need any money?
Well, by the time I've paid for the basket and fed myself on the way and...
Well, tell Rose to give you £25 out of petty cash. Now, I better fill you in on some of the details. What to look for when you're checking through the inventory.
Morning, Roy.
You look rough.
Oh, I didn't get to bed till past three. I'm still asleep.
Well, this should wake you up. The first real breakthrough.
Oh, this is... When did this come in?
Half an hour ago.
Oh, Bristol's really on their toes. You're sure there's no mistake? This is the girl Joan Kendall?
Oh, it's Joan Kendall, all right. I circulated her picture last Tuesday afternoon.
When can we see it?
Oh, 15, 20 minutes. They're getting set up now. I'll buy you a cup of coffee to wake you up.
Lights, Constable.
Right, sir.
So... Now we know where she got the 300.
There's big money in pornography.
Bigger than I thought. And he presented her as some sort of purity symbol.
Hamer?
Yeah, your dedicated scholar. Knows it all, but can't apply any of it to real life.
Where are you going? There's another reel.
You keep it. I want a call sent out for Hamer.
I have a right to call a lawyer.
Certainly, if you think you need one.
Obviously I need one if I'm going to be charged with murder.
Who said anything about a charge?
Then what am I here for? What is all this? You have me arrested on the road.
Not arrested, old sir.
The police car almost rammed me into the ditch.
We just want you to sit down, nice and quiet, and watch a film.
What sort of a film?
A blue film. This is why she was murdered. How's it coming, Roy?
Just a few seconds.
Hamer, what did you do when you left the university in Canada?
I got a job in America, upstate New York.
Doing the same sort of thing, lecturing in history?
That's right, in a woman's college.
How long did that last?
Half a term.
What happened?
I quit.
Why? Why?
There was this girl, a student in my class, emotionally unbalanced, a sort of love-hate thing fixed on me. Came to my room one night, poured it all out on me.
how unhappy she was, how it would all be all right if only I could care for her a little. When I tried to get her out, she raised the roof, accused me of trying to rape her. The dean said there'd have to be a full inquiry. I told her in that case that she could stick the job.
You were afraid of the inquiry?
If the dean wasn't prepared to accept my word before that of a girl obviously unbalanced, I didn't want to know.
You're proud.
I was short of time then, or I thought I was.
All set to go.
Good. Well, what did you think of that?
I think that without any doubt at all, it was the most revolting thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh. You saw nothing artistic in it?
Is that what the creep who made it claims?
We don't know the creep who made it, but we thought you might, being in the business.
Now, look, I sell picture postcards and calendars, nothing to do with pornography. Where did you get it?
One of those ironic little quirks I was telling you about. Bristol had a tip-off that a pot party was coming up in a private club. They raided it and found this movie instead.
Someone saw it and murdered her.
You know that?
You have a better idea?
Well, no, not offhand.
So we start at square one.
The creep who made the film.
Shouldn't be too difficult to find him, should it?
You'd say it was a professional job, would you, the camera work?
Oh, for sure. There was no mug behind that camera.
There must be hundreds of professional photographers, even in this neck of the woods. Also, it could have been shot anywhere, and so that adds...
It was shot down here, on the moor.
Huh?
In the exterior sequences, you get a clear view of Craig Tor.
And how about the cottage? Did you recognize that, too?
No, I didn't.
Are you sure?
Certain. Look, can't the people in Bristol help, the people who run the club?
All they get's a phone number to call, and that's changed each time.
Yeah, and there's a code. The film's delivered and collected after dark so that nobody gets a good look at the carrier. Aimer, are you sure? You work around photography. Doesn't a cameraman, a director, leave his handwriting on a film so that the initiated at least can spot it?
I don't know who made it, I told you. But I do know this. He doesn't deserve to be alive.
Oh, I don't know about that. Is he any more to blame than the people who pay for it?
This load of filth resulted in someone's murder.
The girl didn't have to be in it.
All right. You made the point. I'm naive. She was nothing but a little whore after all. Can I go now?
Where were you in the early hours of Monday morning?
Asleep. I can't prove it, though. My cat doesn't speak English.
Well... What do we do now?
The long, tedious haul again. Start checking, like he says. All the photographers in the area and... Get a blow-up of that cottage and trace the owner. Plod, 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 Roy. It'll get you there in the end.
He isn't here. He's over in the cathedral rehearsing for Tuesday's recital.
When do you expect him back?
Oh, he's not coming back. I thought you were in Dudley.
Rose... You have charge of all the accounts, don't you?
Well, not all of them. I do the day book and the petty cash.
How about the models? How are they paid?
We don't use many. When it's an advertising or publicity job, the agency send their own models.
But when we do use them, who pays them?
Well, I do, as a rule.
By cheque or cash?
However they want it. Cash more often.
Rose, suppose Mr. Earle wanted to make an exceptionally large payment by cash...
Yes.
Would you go to the bank and draw it for him?
Well, like as not, I would.
And there'd be a record of it?
Oh, yes, we have to keep records for the tax.
Rose, do you recall drawing out £300 for him?
£300? Oh, I don't think so. When exactly?
6 or 7 weeks ago.
No, I'd remember a sum as big as that.
Suppose he drew it out. Would you have a record?
If he drew it out on the office account.
And if he drew it on his private account?
Well, he has a separate book for that.
And where's that kept?
In his desk.
Rose, I want you to do something for me. A very special favour.
Piper. What? Yes? What? All right, thanks. All right. I'll go down there. Get the car out at once. Roy?
Yes?
You can drop everything.
What's happened?
The case just came to an end. Arnold Rowland shot himself.
When?
A few minutes ago. Some kids playing near the rugby ground saw a red coupe drive up. And a man get out and go into the changing rooms. It appears he was carrying a tape recorder. Sometime later on, they heard a shot.
They told a milkman and he phoned in. The thing that made the kid stop and stare was that the man who went into the changing room was all tricked out in football togs. County jersey, boots, the lot. He was even carrying a scrum cap. I don't want anybody coming in, Sergeant.
Very good, sir.
I don't see anything.
Over here. See? On the massage table.
God, what a mess.
I suppose this is what you could call a ritual suicide.
Why?
Why did he shoot himself?
Wild elaboration. Getting into his football gear and laying himself out like this, here.
Yes, perhaps that's the saddest part of the whole thing. Suppose he wanted at the end to go back to the days when life was good. When he wore that jersey on Saturday afternoons and the crowd roared and he saw himself a hero, a man among men. Ay, poor old Rowley. Well, at least he tidied up all nice and neat for us. No doubt he left all we want to know on this tape. Switch it on, Roy.
It's funny. These are the last words I'm going to speak on this earth. And yet now I'm sitting here, in front of the mic. None of it seems real. As if it happened to someone else. How do you begin? At the end? The end of Arnold Roland? Well, everything will go on as before, won't it? I might never have lived for all the difference it's going to make. Sobering thought, eh? But maybe if I were like James Hamer, if I believed, I'd get a word of reassurance from up there. God'd say, okay, love, you may not want to work it all out for yourself, but you didn't live for no reason at all. When you're through with this veil of tears, there's a cushy spot waiting for you up here in paradise. You're not just worm fodder, Roly boy, God would say. You do have an immortal soul, after all. When she first came to work in the shop, I didn't pay much attention to her as a woman. Apart from the thing I'll tell you about in a minute, I like women. I registered she was pretty, of course. You couldn't fail to do that. But I didn't do anything, make any move. I've had ladies from the university working for me before, and with them I've always stuck to the old Confucian maxim that a man shouldn't foul his own nest. Stuck to that maxim with her. At first, had I known what I know now, I'd have gone on sticking to it, but fast. How was I to know? When she walked in, neat and trim, bit shy-looking, smiling easy, though with a smile that lit you up. How was I to know that my doom walked in with her? You want some facts, don't you? Right. When did I first see her as a woman? Well, I can't give you the exact time, day of the week, even the month, but it was evening, after hours. We were dressing out the window together. She was arranging a display of tulip glasses, rather elegant, smoked from Czechoslovakia. She dropped one, cut her finger. Index finger of her right hand. I got the first aid box. Then it happened. For the first time, I noticed what beautiful hands she had. Firm, graceful, with character and purpose. That's what got me going, those white hands. Crazy. Since when have hands been erogenous as parts of a woman's body? After that trivial little thing, I was gone, completely gone. A sighing swain, throat-scraping adolescent, right back to my teens. Extraordinary. Most of the time I felt I was someone else. Someone who irritated me. And all because of a pair of hands. I only had to see her walking towards me and my throat had swelled up. My tongue got too big for my mouth. My hands got bigger and more awkward, stickier. Sometime after this, I don't know how many days, not many, I plucked up my courage and asked her to have dinner with me. Now, stop it right there. Here we have to have an explanation. Old Rowley's attitude towards the opposite sex. Well, it was all right, provided they were birds, dollies, partridge. On a thrash with the lads after a big game, I never hung back, no sir. when I was confronted by a woman you could get serious about. Emotionally entangled, love, that kind of thing. I'd take off fast, I don't know why. That's crazy, too. Come to the end of your life and not understand a fundamental thing about yourself like that. Wasn't that I was scared of marriage? Who wants to be alone? More alone than you have to be. No, only to be attracted to the female, apart from the obvious thing, the sex thing. And I lost my nerve completely. Reduced to a fear-ridden pulp. Actually, it only happened once before Miss Joan Kendall walked her deadly way into my life. In fact, I was scared that I'd lose my masculinity when it came to the moment of consummation. That's why I ran. Maybe it's not so kinky after all. What causes more trouble between men and women than that simple act of consummation? Another fact. Cops always want facts, don't they? On the telly, they're always yelling for them like seagulls behind a ship. Facts, facts, facts. Give us the facts, as though a fact is something simple, something that comes with a water supply. The fact that I told her that night. Took her to one of those she places on the edge of the moor where they have candlelight and bring the chafing dishes to the table. Cost me £9. Primed by a bottle and 3/4 of Niersteiner Domtal, she could only manage a quarter. I told her the whole bit. Just how it was with me. The fear. The whole works. And what does she do then? After I put it all on the line for her. My life. My innermost feelings. She says primly it's getting late. And I have this early tutorial in the morning. Well, after that, another fact. She goes to James Hamer, as I subsequently find out, and tells him she's having trouble with me. And will he help her find another job? I do this agonizing, soul-bearing act, and she calls it trouble. What do you think? It's a new pitch? A variant on some old chestnut? This thing is bigger than both of us. Come and see me etchings. This what you thought? Who knows? I have no facts on what went on inside her head. My friend Harry Piper said the more he had her explain to him, the shadowier young she became. He was so right. I was in love with her. Worked with her every day. Yet she remained the original enigma. The smile on the Mona Lisa. I'm going to spare you and myself the details of what happened the next few weeks. Goes on working for me like nothing had happened. I'm servile, grateful for any sweet crumb of comfort, smile, even acknowledgement of the fact that I'm living and breathing, for God's sake. We'll skip all those weeks, smartish, if it's all the same to you. All right, we come to the night before she died. That night, more to get away from myself and my thoughts, I drove her. No, I shall name it. Want to cause any more trouble. Small club outside the city it was. A little gambling, music, pleasant bar. Chap who runs it, an old mate, says, glad you showed up tonight, Rowley. You're having a special film show for a select circle. £8 a head, 12, perhaps 15 guys. Long room over the garage. A man was right. Special film. Very special. She was in it. That nice, rather shy girl. Serious student of history, and those fine hands. Star of a blue movie. And not looking as though it's any great agony. As her arm had been twisted. Just the reverse. She really put her heart into the work. And that's how she got the £300. Next night, I wait for her in the close under that big copper beech. She comes out of Hamer's after midnight. Stop her. She's tired. Has an early lecture. Won't it keep till the afternoon? It won't keep till the afternoon. So we walk through the sleeping streets, and presently we're on Stephen's Meadow. And I tell her about the film. I tell her what it does to me. I say, you can imagine how I felt, what I suffered. Seeing the girl you're in love with, want to marry, doing those things up there on the screen in front of a group of sweaty-faced men. You know what she did? She laughed at me. Like it was the funniest thing she'd ever heard. I went berserk. There was a large stone. Afterwards, I dropped her off the bridge. It's all yours now.
Switch it off, Roy.
What now?
We get the rotten bastard who made the film, of course.
Any ideas?
Ideas? A hunch, perhaps. No. More than a hunch. A growing conviction. Wonder why I didn't think of it before. Graham Earle.
Graham Earle, pillar of the cathedral, one of Ashminster's leading and most respected citizens.
Charlie Peace played the organ. Boy, Dr. Crippen was highly respected. Hamer took her to Earle for a job.
He told her no.
Ah, but he saw his chance. Chance to up the market value of his product. Fresh-looking young girl, college student, instead of the beat-up old call lady they usually get in a porn movie. Oh, yes, I can see it. Later, Earl makes his approach, privately, not in the office, where nobody knows. He puts it to her. No real harm in it, Ducky. An artistic effort. Better to show people making love than making war. And there's 300 lovely big smackers in it for you.
Well, if he did that, if it was Earl, he's a whole lot better a judge of character than Hamer.
Then that, my friend, wouldn't be difficult. Now, we'll go along and have a little talk with Mr. Earl. It could be very revealing. Very revealing indeed.
James, I thought you were in Dudley.
I'll get to the point, Earl. For a whole year, I've hated your guts. Sometimes it's been so intense, it's been like a pain.
Are you drunk?
I've hated you because you're the most loathsome of all things, a hypocrite.
No.
Mealy-mouthed, but slimy. Serving your God, but making it pay off big. Friend of the dean and chapter and taking the old payola.
What?
Choir groups, school groups, the plushier weddings, the Christian photographer.
Look, if you think I've got...
You're working on me too, don't you? Chap down on his luck, needs a place to live. You can help, bit of Christian charity. An attic in the close, cathedral property. You know how to fix it. For me.
Oh, how
you get the lease and sublet it to me for 30% more than you pay for it.
Oh, this is absurd.
I know, Earl. I've known a long time. The hatred I've had all these months is nothing to what I feel now, since I've seen that load of photographic filth you no doubt made a packet out of.
What are you talking about?
I have proof. The facts. I recognize the flowing Bergman-esque style. You're a damn good cameraman, I'll give you that. I also recognize that little hideaway of yours on the moor. You got a little careless there, Earl, letting that be seen so clearly.
This is proof.
This is proof.
Well, what are you going to do with it? Give it to the police? Oh, James, let's talk this out like rational men. If I hadn't accepted the commission to make that film...
Somebody else would have done it.
Well, of course.
The standard get-out clause. Everyone uses it. The Fifth Amendment.
I had to have the money.
Ah.
Yes, I was pushed. Soaring cost of living, two sons at university. I had no room for manoeuvre.
You had to have a new business in Dudley.
The only way I could meet my obligations... What's so wrong, so hypocritical in meeting one's obligations?
Is that what you were getting me into, a pornography factory in Dudley?
No, no, no. I bought the business out of the proceeds of the film.
Another film's like it.
All right. But that was my last.
From now on, you were going to play it clean.
I've no need to take the risk. The pressure's off. Look at this realistically, James. Lift your head from the history books. People are different today. Their needs are different. As the young say, better show making love than making war.
Is that how you pitched it to her, in those words?
Well, what difference does it make?
The difference it makes, Earl, is that the girl is dead. The difference that it makes is that the girl was murdered.
Yeah, but not because of the film.
Certainly because of the film. A matter of days after this revolting epic is finished, she's pulled out of the river. Coincidence? We're being rational. Of course she was killed because of the film.
Do you know that for a fact?
I don't know the details. I don't know the person who bashed
in
her
head.
You don't
even know for sure that it was murder. For all you know, it could have been suicide.
She drowns herself in an excess of shame at what she'd done. Earl, I saw that film less than an hour ago.
Well, then you know she wasn't worth bothering about. You know she had no more moral sense than a... What are you doing?
I'm going to throw you out of this loft.
You're out of your mind. Ha!
Let me go.
It was enough to kill that organist in the 1840s.
There's people down there, witnesses.
Over you go.
Help! 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 Help!
Over you go.
Let go of him, Emma. Out of the way! Don't be a fool, I tell you. Oh!
Sorry about that. Why the hell couldn't you leave it be? Oh, boy, you pack a punch.
All right.
Winded.
Sit down. Mr. Earle, we have certain information about the making and distribution of a pornographic film.
Now, look, you can't believe all Hamer says, and I can explain it anyway. True is my cottage on the...
You shot the film in your cottage, yes?
I'm not saying anything.
You've already said a mouthful.
Yeah, I was unnerved. This man was trying to kill me.
Roy, take Mr. Earle to the office, will you?
I say nothing without my lawyer.
You'll have your lawyer.
Mr. Earle.
All right. But you're making a mistake. You'll hear more about it. I can promise you that.
All right, Hamer.
Why did you have to butt in?
Butting in is my business.
Why couldn't you let me throw him over?
And what good would that have done you?
He killed the girl. But for him, she'd be alive
that
now.
That is not the literal fact of the matter. The literal fact of the matter is that Arnold Rowland killed her.
You know that for a fact?
Positive. He shot himself an hour ago and left a confession on a tape recording.
Oh, God.
He wanted to marry her. He saw the movie at a stag party. When he texted her with it, she laughed. That drove him over the edge.
Something else Earl has to answer for.
Yes.
How will he answer for it?
Now, you've had a university education, you know. We don't make the laws.
What'll he get? A few months?
If that.
I'll get him when he comes out.
Let's have that one again.
I'll get him when he comes out.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. I'm not just shooting my mouth
off. You won't do anything like that, Hamer. You're pretty short on common, but you're not a complete nit.
All right, you tell me. You're the realist, the one who knows the full score.
All right. He's vermin. But you destroy him and you spend the next 10 years in prison. That proves anything?
Look, I had a hand in this too, you know. I led the girl to her death.
Oh, now, how the blue blazes did you come to work that out?
I took her to his office. I advised her to stay on with Roland.
You're determined to get in on the act, aren't you? Get a chunk of the action. You just have to be guilty, don't you? Maybe you led your wife and child to their death.
I was driving the car.
Ah, you see what I mean? You have to hog the action. Now listen, boy, I didn't know your lady wife or your little boy. But I do know about Miss Joan Kendall. Now, listen, short course, but packed, as you might say. I don't suppose Mr. Graham Earle had to use a thumbscrew to get her to be in that film, do you?
Now, look, Piper.
Answer the question.
Well, no, but...
And as to her modesty being outraged, her virtue embarrassed by the honest, if somewhat bucolic, attentions of poor old Rowley. When he told her he'd seen her in that movie, she laughed.
There is a moral issue.
Will you listen to me? She laughed at him, Hamer. She laughed in his face.
That doesn't exonerate Earl. Not in my eyes.
Listen, you. You're not going to exonerate or unexonerate anybody. You're going to get back in line. You're going to stop carrying on like something out of Edwin Drood, that ridiculous gothic bit brooding under the eaves and gazing with sickly eye at the old cathedral and talking about spiritual rebirth and all that manure.
Is that what you think?
Ah, get him when he comes out. What kind of cheap line's that?
Well, it's not out of Edwin Drood.
Stop feeling sorry for yourself for a start. Now, other people have lived through what you've lived through, lost as much as you have, and more, and got on doing a decent job. And not giving trouble to some poor, hard-working, underpaid policeman.
Piper, I meant to throw him down there. That was no acting caper.
I know that. If we hadn't come along, you'd really be up the creek now, wouldn't you? Look, go back to what you can really do, will you? Teaching history. You can't do so much harm there.
Thanks.
Also, you might have a bit better influence on the next Joan Kendall you meet. You might be able to stop her selling herself for 300 quid.
You think so?
I wouldn't put my money on it. Oh, come on. I'll buy you a beer. I know how you feel. But it's all in that day's work. Honestly, I promise you.
That was Open Verdict by Lester Powell. Inspector Piper was played by Charles Simon, James Hamer by Eric Allen, Arnold Rowland by William Fox, Roy Shields by David Valor, and Graham Earle by Clifford Rose. Production was by Martin Jenkins.